que tu persona.
Ahorre, no compre sin visitar Emporio.
Larry on.
And added that these are the facts as we know them. There is an epidemic of mass murder being committed by a virtual army of unidentified assassins.
It's your cyber cigarette, your internet nicotine, your verbal vape, and your online crack pipe. It's time for your podcast fix with Justin and Nickelbag Rick. It's Pod Vomit.
It is Pod Vomit. You know, they never have got that anti-host thing down for you yet.
Yeah, it's still not part of it, but what are you going to do, all right? I mean...
Well, it is. It's Pod Vomit. It's me, Nickelbag Rick, and the anti-host... Justin.
Yo.
Yeah, giving your introduction there.
So I'm still like jangling around with the connections because, you know, technical difficulties and all.
How are we sounding here?
I think we sound good enough.
Are we? Do we sound like a...
A couple of dicks? Yeah.
I was going to say, do we sound like a BB-8 droid?
I don't know.
Well, today is the day. Today is the Force Awakens show.
It's awakened. Is it awakened in your pants?
I've hit the snooze button, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
On the Force Awakens. It's the first Star Wars topic show we've done since our third episode way back a long time ago.
You could say this is our only Star Wars topic with two hosts.
This is our reboot Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, we are reawakening.
We J.J. Abrams the Star Wars.
Right. You know. Yeah. We're HD or something. I don't know.
But something that, special. That's something relative to the 2016s.
Right. And then onward.
And onward.
Upwards.
Yeah.
Into the galaxy.
Upwards,
far,
inwards.
Far, far away.
Outward.
But yes, so this is going to be the Force Awakens. We're not, you know, we're getting right to it and everything.
Oh, so, you know, fair warning, full spoilers for the Force Awakens. If you haven't seen.
If you're the only two to three people that haven't seen
it. Yeah, I mean, if you haven't seen the movie. Go watch the movie or don't. I don't care. Just turn this episode off if you don't want spoilers, okay?
But if, in fact, you listen to this show before you have seen The Force Awakens...
Fuck you.
No, I was going to say kudos that they picked us over Star Wars, so...
Oh, okay, yeah, if they're not, as long as they're not mad about it.
You know.
Like, if they listen to this first and then they, like, sent us hate mail, fuck you.
Well, that's right? My whole thing. Yeah, fuck you, because okay. If you listen to us first before you saw Star Wars...
I was like... On. At first, I was like, you're not... With me on the fuck you? What's
oh, I'm
going
with
on
you
there?
On the fuck you.
Okay. You know. As long as you're with me on that.
Yeah.
Like anything
yeah.
else we disagree on is doesn't matter.
Right.
All right, but yeah. So what?
Well, today
you didn't come here alone, did you?
No, I did not. I actually brought. This is a first.
We're at the what? Where are we at first?
We are at our Atlanta branch of Fenario Studios,
the Atlanta affiliate.
The Atlanta affiliate, our downtown studios.
Right.
Inside the perimeter, if you will.
Yeah. ITP, y'all.
Right. We have really, you know, our mobile studio, but everything is in place. Everything is the same except for the location. We're still at Fenario, still using Fenario equipment, still on the Fenario dime, but we're just inside the perimeter at our new...
We're always Fenario, baby.
That's right. But we're just inside, in the Atlanta, the inside. I mean, man, it's a progressive situation going on with those guys. So,
yeah,
we're down here. And we
Rick does live a progressive lifestyle.
Well, I try to. But we I try. God knows.
It means gay.
No,
okay.
Oh, no, no. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that, but I'm all fully supportive. But no. No, and I brought my girlfriend with me today at our in-town...
Yeah.
Atlanta Studios. But I tried to get her to come on. I even tried to kind of sneak a Facebook post of telling everybody, hey, you know, she's coming on. Let's see if we can get her to, you know, come on the show. But she's downstairs watching Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
In the big lounge.
She's all getting into it, huh?
Yeah. She's got her a cold beer. She's chilling. She's all in this recliner that's this full leather recliner, this huge 50,
yeah, it's
8-inch
screen. This studio has some accommodities. I'm not
comedies.
Comedies. It has comedies. Accommodations. Hey, see, I've had a few wines here.
Right. The accommodations have been accommodating you very well, sir.
Yes, definitely. So
I have my economies lined up in front of me.
Yes,
so.
I'm glad you have many economies.
I do.
Economies. They've turned into economies. Okay, so how'd you convince your girlfriend to come here?
You knew she
were coming to record Pod Vomit, right?
Of course.
You
of course. You know,
make something up or.
No.
Put a blindfold on her.
The whole thing.
She did come here in a blindfold, though. So
she would have been like, "This is disappointing."
Yeah, I know.
But on a blindfold, you're taking me? Come on.
This is another studio. Jeez.
I said,
how many studios do you guys have? I know you're rich and all, but
come downtown with us. I said, and I didn't really say, hey, you should be on the show.
Rick was like, they have Game of Thrones.
I said, yeah, you can watch all of the Game of Thrones. And recently, her and I, because I know Justin has been really prodding me to watch Game of Thrones.
Well, I do, and I think the audience wants to hear a Game of Thrones episode.
Yes, and so I had been putting it off, and here recently.
Spoiler alert: Rick will be very cynical during that episode.
Yeah, look, I have been trying to get through the first season. Not trying. I'm about like in episode 4 or 5.
It's the complicated names and locations that get you.
I had to ask Justin, like, does Game of Thrones, is like, does it take place in like our world, or is this a whole fictional place? What's going on? And if it's a fictional realm,
yes,
if you will.
It's not Southern California.
But they use words like fuck and rape.
Yeah,
and
they use some
English.
Language. And they show all various body parts.
Yeah,
from dicks to tits to vaginas. You know.
They do.
And all the regular parts as well.
even some ass cheeks sometimes.
Even some ass cheeks.
So, I told him and now my girlfriend is all about it. You know, me and her started watching it together, and I'm not going to lie, I've really had a hard time staying with it.
Do you feel like they're in the Shire the whole time? Or
it's just very Lord of the Rings, you know. I mean, I watched the Lord of the Rings. I've even read those books when I was a kid, but I just, when I read Lord of the Rings as a kid, there was
another series with complicated names and locations.
There was other kids that I would remember reading it, just like really, they just were over the top with it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I like Star Wars far better. That was my thing. I just like that story. But when it comes to stuff like Lord of the Rings, I did read it, but it just never, I even read the Silmarillion.
Which I haven't read that.
And
I read the original Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, but.
And that was tough,
Yeah.
But I'm glad she's here. I'm glad that, she's downstairs watching Lord of the Rings and...
Lord of the Rings, you mean Game of Thrones?
Whatever.
Same thing.
Game of the Hobbit, whatever.
There's a midget in it. He looks like a hobbit.
Right. Peter Dinkley. Mel.
Oh, and before we get any mail on this, Rick, it's Dinklage, not Dinkley.
Well,
Peter Dinklage.
Dinklage.
Yeah.
I like that his name is like
Dinklage. I know. It kind of describes the person he is. Like Dinklage. You're a Dinklage.
Right.
I mean, that's like another word for midget,
and,
right?
And I like his character in the show and everything. I think he doesn't even come off as like a dwarf. He still comes off very
normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm going to hang in there for the Silmarillion Game of Thrones / Lord of the Hobbit. See how it works.
See how it all fans out.
Yeah. All right. Hello, Tina.
Hi.
It's mail time.
How's it going?
You're right here on time. We were just bragging about your
great rack. I mean, what?
That you're always here on time doing your job.
Thank you. And never passed out drunk and puking on the floor.
Not when we're recording,
that's
anyhow.
Not until later. Well, from Elliot Turner, we have, did you know there is a religion called Jediism? What kind of church gathering events do you think they would have?
Well,
first of all, I got a problem with the term Jediism.
What?
Why don't you just call it Jedi?
Yeah, that's right. Jediism.
There's a religion called Jedi. That's
it. Is that
it.
Like being a Vulcanism? I know. Agree. Jediism.
Is that just the separation between the actual Jedi in the movie and your stupid religion? I don't know.
Right. It's like that Family Guy where Peter starts the Fonzie, the Church of the Fonz.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which they also did a Star Wars theme thing.
Oh, that's true.
Family Guy.
Yeah.
My favorite part is when they're trying to get the couch out of the...
Oh, yeah.
Out of the trash compartment.
I have a t-shirt.
We got to get this couch. I mean, they just left it here.
I have a t-shirt of the Star Wars... poster, but all Family Guy people.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
what mail we got? Anyways, this is mail time.
Yeah, this is Star Wars mail time.
Well, next from Tom Howell, we have.
Oh.
For the 2015 Deadpool, Justin said Harrison Ford was on his list. Does he get extra points since a big character of his died on the new Star Wars movie?
Well,
no, because he's a fictional character.
Yeah, his character
died. We've already discussed this.
Yes.
Didn't you listen to the rest of the show? I said all this.
Yes.
No, no, you don't get points for characters they played that died. I mean.
So, no, you know. It's just a character. I'd be like saying,
I know I'm trying to think of one.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of
Doc
one, too.
Doc Brown died, you know.
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd died, right?
But he didn't, yeah.
But Doc Brown died, so Christopher Lloyd must have died also.
Right.
Or you get points for that for some reason. No, you don't get points.
I like that Tina's doing intern jobs. Look at her. Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah, so we have studio dogs here, apparently.
A dog in the studio.
They have pets at this location. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's also we're at next to a
Tina is tending to the animals.
Yeah, she's a dog walker.
A dog whisperer.
Yeah, a dog humper. I don't know.
Well, you know, that if that's after the show, that's fine.
Well, I mean, she lets the dogs, you know, just hump her. Just, you know, that's while she's dog walking them. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, on with the next email or what?
So, on with the Twitter twatter.
Twitter twatter.
Followers. What?
Twitter twatter, right?
Twitter twatter.
All right, just like she said.
Twitter twatter.
Twitter twatter.
Yeah, I think you said it like 8 times.
Lab podcast. George Horwell.
Horwell?
Horwell.
All right.
Okay.
Podcast
1980 horror. Anyone?
Heyo.
Sorry, I had to.
Podcast Booster Bot. Podcast Booster Bot. Sorry, sorry.
Easy for you to say.
Dad and Bubs.
Dab.
Dad.
Dad.
Dad and Bubs.
Okay.
Who are these crazy nuts following us?
I know, man.
Geek Dig Podcast. And Sink in the Head Show.
All right. And I have.
Yeah, that's good. good on that.
We also have some Facebook folk.
Facebook. Face Love.
Yeah.
They made Face Love to us.
Let's see who we have here. We have Kennedy, April, Dominic. April Dominic, if you remember, she said, please shout out my page. Apes Hair Doohickey. She was the girl that was at Paracon.
Our booth friend. Yeah.
Our booth buddy.
Oh, yeah.
And then we have Ezra, and we have Samantha Vick.
Is there anybody on there that's better, say, than Ezra?
I was going to try to go.
Yeah, I did it. I went there.
And
I'm living there.
Right. I'm
creating
Angie
a settlement.
Lynn. We have Angie Lynn, Christine Stevens, Bryant Lynn. I guess they're a couple. And Michelle Craig.
You know, we're starting to becoming one of those podcasts that just does like shout outs throughout half their show.
Right. Well, no, you know, we're always appreciative to all of our Facebook and Twitter and regular followers and stuff. Send us your email to podvomit@gmail.com and send us more pictures of your boobs and pictures with stickers and stuff on your various body parts. So we do appreciate all that.
I one time listened to your Smodcast recommendation.
Which one?
I don't remember, man. But what I do remember is like 50% of the show was shout outs.
Oh. Well,
but okay. The other part of the show was good and funny. It was just like, you guys just do way too many shout outs here.
Okay. So, well,
no, we're not there yet.
We've wrapped that segment up, though. So,
yeah.
You know, we've put it in the trash compactor.
I sound like an ungrateful bastard, I know.
Right. You know, he doesn't. You sound like me. You know, like I should be some sort of
I
hermit,
know, right? You're like,
oh, I hate you people acknowledging all such, you know, what we're doing.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Tina. How's things going, Tina?
Pretty good.
What drink number are you on?
I lost count.
Okay.
Okay. That was kind of a boring answer.
Right. But it was funny because she kind of said, I lost count, and then just kind of stared directly at me like I knew her count. Like, I was like I can't help you. I don't know.
Don't you know? Haven't you been keeping up?
With Tina?
Yeah.
No.
That she's looking at you like she comes thinks and goes.
I mean, you know, she's in, she's out. She's down there talking to my girlfriend watching Game of Thrones.
I'm kind of wondering, like, where did she find all these bottles of liquor?
Hey, let me ask you something, Tina. My girlfriend is in the lounge watching Game of Thrones. Do you think she would come up? You could get her to come up?
Could you drag her up here?
For a beer? No.
Tell her that Jon Snow is up here.
Tell her Jon Snow the Hobbit monger is up here.
Nope.
And they want to do the titty dance in front of Jason Momoa.
I want you to tell me exactly what this titty dance is.
The titty dance was like in the season one where the blonde hair chick that's got the nice rack that looks kind of like the chick from Frozen and they're getting married. And
Wait. She looks like a chick from a cartoon. To you?
Yeah, she's got the blonde hair.
That's what you get turned on by? Like,
not as I get turned
CGI
on.
CGI graphics?
I have to remember who each person is.
That cartoon thing
like
that
Jason
I'm turned
Momoa,
on
when
by.
When I see him, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Conan or Aquaman. And it's like... And
that's funny that you think about Aquaman. A movie hadn't even come out yet.
Well, I know, but I already know he's going to be Aquaman.
Right.
And then and it's like in that blonde hair dude that's like the hot-looking chick's brother. I call him Rocky Horror Picture Show guy. And then, you know...
So, right. Yeah, I know. You got like some kind of...
And then, like, the one guy, Ned,
well, what,
I call him, like, old Daryl Dixon.
I mean, if you have a way to remember all the characters, then there you go. If that's how you have to do it.
Yeah. It's so painful. It really is. But I'm trying.
Do you ever get to where you forget what your nicknames were?
No. That's how I did it with Lost. When I watched Lost, it was Angry Brown Girl and Dr. Evil. And,
you just don't want to invest in the time and learn their names.
So, you know, and then I figure them out who they are, you know.
But, eventually, you start to learn the names.
But that's kind of who I'm picking the names for on the Game of Thrones.
But until then, they're like weird comparisons of other characters on other shows. And it may or may not be animated.
Right. It just depends on their personality, really.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's who I kind of associate them with.
Right.
But today, we're not talking about Game of Thrones or The Hobbit.
Not so much.
No, we're talking about, well...
We're talking about another movie that you hate
everybody
or
has
love.
Seen. Everybody has seen. If you haven't seen it yet again, why are you listening to the show? Go see this fucking movie. Because you're the only person who has not seen this movie.
Yeah.
Which is Star Wars.
And if you're our audience, you've probably seen it.
Yes. So. We know you have.
We're not giving any more spoiler alerts.
Well, I'll give plenty because everybody has seen it.
No more alerts. That's enough.
Okay. The alerts are done.
Yeah, we're kind of beating a dead horse at this point.
Okay. Here's the alert. We're done with the alerts.
Yeah. No more alerts.
Yeah.
There might be an alert about how there's going to be no more alerts later, but...
But that's it. Don't worry about the show.
That. Yeah.
There might be an alert. We might bring it to your attention that the show is ending.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Force Awakens.
You get that, like, beep and then just all the colors on the screen.
Yeah. It's like the end of 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Why do they think of the most...
I see plaid.
Why do they think of the most annoying thing to, like, announce an alert? Like...
It sounds like a fax... I mean, it sounds like an old internet connection.
It's just like beep.
Yeah. You've got problems.
Yeah. So, let's segue from that embarrassment and...
So you went and seen, when you seen the movie, I knew you seen it with your job. We got a Wookiee in here.
I know, I hear it.
It's a baby.
I do a terrible impression of a Wookiee. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Okay. All right.
I remember you seeing, you sent me a text. You said, hey, you got it for a Christmas gift from your work, didn't you?
No, I won it in a contest.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah. They were doing a contest and... They're like, you know, you have to wear a Star Wars t-shirt to participate in the contest.
That's easy.
So I got like 8 of those.
Right.
And I think I wore the one that has the AT-AT walker.
Right.
Kind of crossing the street.
Yep.
Like Abbey Road style.
And that's what won it? Just the creativity of the shirt?
No, it wasn't based on who won. You were able to enter a drawing.
Just a straight drawing.
Yeah, it's just a drawing. Okay. But you had to be wearing a Star Wars t-shirt to be eligible. Well, I think... six other people did it.
Wow. So it was
so
like,
I had so really you, good chances.
Okay.
And I ended up winning.
And when you walked out, you were completely satisfied.
I wasn't going to go to the movies on opening night. I was like, yeah, I'm going to, I don't like dealing with all the people.
Right.
I was going to wait till the next weekend. But I won the ticket, so I was like, "Yeah, well, I'll go."
And there was a lot of hype, you know. I mean,
yeah, there was a lot of hype. There, why would every Star Wars movie that came out? There was a lot of hype for.
But there was a lot with this.
Did I come out completely satisfied? Not 100%, but I didn't expect to. I didn't expect, you know, to have the feeling like I did when I watched The Empire Strikes Back. I don't compare it to that. I don't place it on that pedestal.
I had an extreme amount of optimism for this movie. I really did. I went in, I tried to avoid everything on social media. I didn't know anything about no characters, anything. No spoilers at all. I was very excited. I went and seen this movie at 9:30 in the morning, and the reason I went so early was it was
because there's no other motherfuckers there.
It was a Christmas gift from my son, and he even said, "We got to go see this at 9:30 in the morning only because it's getting close to Christmas. Our schedules are just not going to match up to do
right.
this." And he goes, "And I feel that if we don't go see it now, you know, we're going to find out certain, you know, spoilers that we don't want to know. So let's go." And I said, "Okay." So we got up real early. We were down there at 9:30 in the morning. It's really weird because it wasn't like a lot of people there, but there was still about probably 25 people in the theater at 9:30 in the morning with popcorn.
Huh.
I was like,
see, that's when I like to go because there's nobody there.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, I even said to him was, it never fails. As soon as I go and there's nobody in there, no matter where I sit, some idiot will sit either behind me or in front of me or on the same row. It's like, what is the fucking deal with
an
that?
Idiot that just is noisy the whole time? Or?
It's just the fact that you got to sit. I mean, if I see
I always
somebody,
have like somebody with a young baby sitting next to me.
Well,
that's
my
the worst.
Thing is, you know, if I'm sitting somewhere in an empty theater, please do not sit near me.
Yeah, right.
You know, just sit away from me.
Please isolate yourself from me.
And even at
it's like coming up and peeing in the urinal right next to you.
When there's a row.
When there's like 10 of them.
Exactly. Yeah. But, and here was the other kind of thing that I was really happy about the 9:30 in the morning viewing of the Force
Some places
Awakens.
Serve breakfast, too.
Well, that'd been awesome. Some yeah. sausage and pancakes.
Yeah,
and
there's
Star
one
Wars.
Down the road from us that they serve breakfast.
That'd been great.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was even eating popcorn. I don't know why we got popcorn.
Yeah.
It's just like,
who wants
know,
to eat popcorn at 9 o'clock in the morning?
I was pretty baked, so I did. But
yeah, anything that was
but
food,
I still
you
think I had
eaten.
Like a biscuit or something before I got there. But yeah. So, you know, the whole thing was, is we get in there and everything, and it was about 25 people, I would say, you know, give or take, in the theater.
Were they waiting outside before
no,
it started?
No, but other people were there to see other movies, too. This was really, this was like, you know, maybe people go to the movies a lot more than I do. But
I didn't know that. Yeah, because they usually don't around here,
but this
around
was
where
around
I go.
This was the Christmas week, so obviously,
yeah.
if they're going to be open for Star Wars, they're surely going to show whatever
I'd say
else.
That's not typical behavior for a lot of people get to be at the movies at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I have never done that. I don't think ever. But
I do it every now and then. I like to go to the movies at like 10 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. There's usually nobody else there.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's at church.
I fucking hate other people, man.
I do too. I don't want to be around them. I agree. But so we get there.
I don't have a lot of friends. Okay.
We get there and you know we're you know waiting for the movie and everything. And now here is what I have heard prior to going to this 9:30 screening. Is that, and I, like Rob Lowe, the day that it opened, Entertainment Tonight or TMZ or one of those fucking shows goes, you know, I was bawling like a baby at some points and just, you know, and I was thinking, oh my God, I don't want to be in a crowded theater.
Of a bunch of people crying?
Or it affected me to the point, I don't want that. I do not want that.
And, you're afraid that you might cry
yes.
in Star Wars.
Maybe. I don't know what they're
going to do. You've cried in some movies. You have a past?
No, but I mean, I'm not above crying at a movie. I think that's, if that movie affects you that much to make, you know, it's doing its job. But
did you cry when, like, what's his name finally, like, saw what the puzzle was in that magic eye thing in the Mallrats? I bet you cried then.
Not in public.
You're like, it's beautiful.
But I am, you know, I am thinking that this is a possibility, you know,
right.
that this is Star Wars. It's something that's very, you know, people kept going, oh, it's so reflective of your childhood. And, you know, And I'm like, oh my God. And if I'm going to have to go at 9:30 in the morning, and I'm with my son, and it's like, I really
can
don't
we, all right, can we fast forward to the point where you actually go and watch the movie?
Okay, so I get there, and I watch the movie, and at no part in the movie did I want to cry on any level. I mean, there are so many points in the movie where I'm like, I cannot believe people are this much into this fucking movie. It's just, it was like...
I'm out of it for a little while.
I think I will say this about Star Wars. I think J.J. Abrams did a good job making a Star Wars film, but I don't think it was very necessary, and I don't think it was very original. That's what I've said about it the whole time. I think he's borrowed everything from old movies, the Star Wars movies, to make the fans happy and Disney happy. But I don't think anything about that movie was that creative or original. And
well,
I'm really surprised that Star Wars fans are really embracing it that much.
That's what he did for Star Trek.
Yeah, but you're taking a franchise from the 60s, not the 80s movies or Next Generation. He was going all the way back to the original kind of story of Kirk
and Spock. So you dismiss it because of 10 years difference?
I felt like...
J.J. Abrams is not the most original guy
no,
in the world.
No.
My point is he took the Star Trek franchise and kind of recreated the whole story with Khan again. I mean,
the only thing I felt that he did about the Star Trek,
I still enjoyed them. I still like both of them.
I haven't seen the second one. I did see the first one. I enjoyed
most people
it a
don't
lot.
Like it. I liked it.
I liked it because
no, I'm saying
just
most
felt
people
it
don't
it
like
breathed, it. It breathed life.
Most people like the first one, but most people don't like the second one. And I like.
I haven't seen
one.
It to make a call.
Yeah, right,
but I felt that if you had never experienced Star Trek, you would. And when I say Star Trek, I mean Star Trek from the 60s.
Right.
You would appreciate and understand and see an updated version of Kirk, Spock, and all that. Now, Star Wars, look, it's already a ongoing story. And the thing is,
it's still very old, the originals.
Well, when we got done with the film, I looked at my son and I said, so what do you think? And he goes, I thought it was great. And I felt bad because this is my Christmas present.
I thought both of y'all didn't like it.
Well, I'm just
saying. He liked
it
and you didn't?
Well, I mean, I think he has issues with it as well. But immediately he goes, well, I thought it was great. And he goes, what did you think? I said, I felt like I've seen every bit of this already. And if I was watching, if I marathoned all six films before this one, just, you know, waiting for it, I would have felt like when I got done with The Force Awakens, it was like, yeah, at least with all six, they didn't really try to overly repeat the story.
I actually did do that. I marathoned all the films before. I didn't watch the first one, though. I skipped episode one.
I always say you can start with Sith and then just go to Jedi.
Yeah, that's what we should have done. We actually watched Attack of the Clones, which is hard to get through.
Yeah.
But
I felt like I saw Creed, you know, the Rocky film, a week or so before.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, I felt like it was a far better film.
All right. But overall, you didn't really care for it, didn't think it was original. The only thing positive you have to say is...
And this is the other thing. I'm really kind of done with anything that they do beyond this. I don't care. I'm not going to invest any more time into this series. I just don't care what they do. I thought Harrison Ford seemed tired. I thought it was stupid that they made him where he was a general, and now all of a sudden he's this...
He kind of goes back to a smuggler lifestyle.
Why? You know, and that was like, okay, we can't think of any... And they didn't do anything as far as...
Why? Because people liked Han Solo as a smuggler. That's why.
That was the early...
That's why they did that.
An old smuggler, and he's still running around the galaxy with his Wookiee, still doing it. And of all the places they find...
So you don't have a problem that he's old, necessarily.
It's just I would have think that he would have been a little bit more higher up into the rebellion and everything like that, like Leia. And, you know, it was just... I just thought the chemistry...
Even Leia was just she was a general, I guess. She wasn't... You'd think that she would be like the chancellor of the entire thing or whatever,
exactly.
But she wasn't.
What was that thing that they kept talking to, this big monster thing? It's like, what is this? How come this hasn't been around since the beginning?
My theory about that is, like, I don't think it's huge like that. I think it's just projected like that because it's a hologram. Yeah. But I think it might be, like, regular person size.
Okay.
And it's been, like, what, 30 years between the movies? Why does it have to be around since the beginning of time? It couldn't have merged between the time periods of the Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens? Why not?
Okay.
I don't have a problem with that. I do have problems with the Star Wars Force Awakens. Don't get me wrong.
Now, what is your problems with it?
Well, first of all, I'm going to say what I liked about it before I say my problems with it. What I liked about it is I thought the acting was dead on. I thought each actor that played their role, I think the acting was actually probably better than the original movies. Okay. Because people overlook some of the bad acting from the original Star Wars movies.
Sure. Because there's a few scenes where I'm even like, ugh.
Yeah, I mean, Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill have some cringeworthy scenes.
Yes.
They do. I mean, sorry. I love Star Wars, but...
I agree. I don't disagree with that at all.
I don't think the acting necessarily is what sold Star Wars from the beginning. You know, the characters and the imagination and everything else is what sold Star Wars from the beginning. But with The Force Awakens, I thought they really did great in finding the actors and the director just kind of working with the actors on different parts. I thought the production and the acting were really, really great in the new movie. I liked the characters.
You know, kind I didn't of, like Finn.
I did. I thought it was interesting to see a perspective of like somebody who was a stormtrooper.
Okay, but here's
and
the
basically
problem.
Kind of new in the whole situation of being a stormtrooper, and then kind of having to come to terms with like what they actually do, and then just kind of.
But here was the problem I had with Finn. When I saw the trailer, I kind of thought his rebellion from the new Empire. What had made some sort of reasoning of
well, I think there was purposely some misdirection in those trailers because they didn't want you to really know the characters and what they're going to be like in the movie. So I think they purposely misdirected in where his path was going to go. Okay. Rick has to take his customary standard piss break.
You rebel scum.
I was trying not to. I wanted to kind of pass the torch, but you just ruined it.
All right, Tina, grab the mic. We're going to talk about Star Wars a little bit while Nickelbag Rick is emptying out all the kidney stones out of his bladder. There's one plopping in the toilet right now. Plop, plop, kidney stone.
Are you still talking about things that you like?
I said that I liked the acting, and I liked overall the feeling of it. I mean, the other the creatures, the animals and things were animatronic, and I don't know, just kind of felt more like the original movies in the 70s and 80s. So, yes, a lot of what I got out of the new Star Wars was nostalgia, and that's definitely what they were selling. I didn't feel like the plot overall was entirely original. There were parts I liked about it. Rick has a problem with Han Solo just kind of going back to being a smuggler. But, you know, it seemed like to me that he never really wanted that kind of military or glamorous kind of lifestyle. I mean, and he just kind of reverted back to what he was, you know, he was comfortable
with. That's what he always knew.
Yeah, and that's what he knew, and I know there's a boardroom at Disney sitting together and be like, well, people liked Han Solo as a smuggler, so let's make him a smuggler again. I realize that. I know that a corporation is, you know, behind all these decisions, and they're like, we want the film to go in this direction because that's going to sell the most tickets.
Do you think Disney did a good job or a bad job? I mean, do you think... See, here's probably some of the things I didn't like. I mean, I didn't have a problem with BB-8 as a droid, but I just thought, okay, but you're just telling the same thing. He's got information or it's got information.
Right, and the information is in the droid. And that's what I was saying. There's not a lot of plot points that were original. And the thing that bugged me the most about the plot was a third Death Star. And I'm like,
I hated that.
We don't need to have
like
a fucking
Kylo
another
Ren.
Death Star.
I hated Kylo Ren. I just thought he was just a whiny bitch. I thought that the SNL little sketch that they made was really funny about the undercover boss.
Undercover boss.
I just thought it was hilarious because, you know, him throwing his lightsaber into the thing. And I didn't like that, you know, all of a sudden you got Finn fighting him. And he's like, he just comes off as this big pussy the entire time. But then all of a sudden he can fight Kylo Ren, who's got experience to move up through the ranks and everything, and have that sort of blood in him of Anakin Skywalker and Han Solo and Princess, you know, I mean, he's in the bloodline. And all of a sudden, now, unless they reveal it that Finn somehow down the road is it somehow that's why he was chosen. Because that's the thing that bugged me. It just seemed like
there's a lot
random.
There's a lot they can, you know, where they can go with the story on this. But, like, I don't know. I actually like the character. Because I think if we had another character like Darth Vader or like some of the villains from the prequels, it would have been just like a boring, bland, uninteresting character.
Where does the money come from, though? I mean, who's building this shit? And that's the other thing.
Who cares about that shit? Nobody cares.
Here's the thing that bugged me.
Listen, like, man, let me, like, okay, my thing about Kylo Ren is, he's not this fearsome, dark, like, you know, Sith Lord. He's not, man. He is a fucking punk. And he is he's like, to me, he's like an evil Luke Skywalker, right? He's learning how to become powerful in the Force of the Dark Side, but he hasn't a fucking clue yet.
Okay,
and he's struggling. And he's trying to, and his idol is Darth Vader, so he's struggling so hard to be like Darth Vader.
I just thought it was, like, odd that I was like, okay, but you don't need to wear that mask.
No, he doesn't, and he even almost makes a joke about how he doesn't need to wear it, you know?
But I just feel like everybody on the Death Star killer thing goes,
but dude,
why are you wearing that?
He wears the mask for intimidation. I mean, that's the only reason.
I know, but
because he saw like I said, he idolizes, worships Darth Vader.
Here's what I was kind of,
and Darth Vader always wore a mask. So he said, well, he commanded respect, so you know, I'm going to wear a mask.
You know, I liked that they said that he trained under Luke,
right?
But
I thought you didn't. I thought Luke looked pretty cool too. I
did too, but it turned into all hobbity. You know,
to me, he looked like Obi-Wan though. I was like, oh my god, it's a parallel to Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I agree.
I thought that was really cool.
But I just thought that ending was a little over dramatic. You know,
how she's like running up the hill.
And yet again, it just seemed like, oh, okay, well there he is. He's Gandalf. I was Gandalf One Kenobi.
Well, but I was just disappointed that there was no conversation, no exchange.
Well, I knew that they were going to end it on the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
I know. I knew. I had a feeling, too, but I think I would have been more satisfied with that part if, like, they actually had a little bit of a conversation. And then broke into the da-da-da-da-da-da,
right. You know? I don't know. I guess I expected so much different original material. I just wanted to see something that I hadn't seen before.
I didn't, man. I didn't expect it to be all that original. And here's why. Because everything J.J. Abrams said about the process during when he was making that movie is reverting back to the old stuff. We're not doing CGI graphics for everything. We're using animatronics and puppets.
I even thought about you in the scene where Kylo Ren and Han Solo, where he kills Han Solo. And when that happened, I leaned over to my son. I went, well, I guess he ain't going to be in this second piece of shit. And I thought about you because I was like, really? It's right out of fucking Empire. They're over this. I even knew this was
the crosswalk. The whole like, it's like, it's funny. I read something like where somebody was like, how come all these like crosswalks in Star Wars don't have railings?
And the other thing too was like, you know, Finn.
Don't people just fall over accidentally?
And the thing, too, is like Finn, you know, gives, you know, handing out the saber for Luke. It's like, so where did you find this? Was it rattling around in some air duct at the bottom of fucking Cloud City? Because that's the last place it fucking was.
I don't know, man. See, I think that part is cool. I think that's kind of neat that they found his lightsaber from, I mean, because
how would they know it's his?
The thing is,
LS.
Who else is it? What other Jedi is there in the galaxy?
Well, who makes these fucking things?
They make them themselves.
Okay.
I don't know.
They explain that.
It just seems to me that. I don't know. It was last saw in Cloud City.
I don't know.
An air duct.
Okay. You're like making a Futurama like newspaper thing about it.
I just think that's just weird. It's like there's no explanation. Of all the goddamn places in the fucking galaxy, this.
I don't know, man.
And why must Finn grow up in the same fucking place that Anakin and Luke? It's always the same.
Think about it, man. It's like finding the lightsaber of Luke Skywalker is like finding the Holy Grail or something here.
Or Excalibur.
People just, it's just like, it's kind of neat. It's like, you don't worry about how they found it. It's just neat that they did find it. And especially like that lightsaber. I mean, come on. After he got his hand caught off the lightsaber, did you think about, oh, I wonder where the lightsaber went?
Well,
you didn't
let me
think
ask you
about
this.
That.
No, of course not.
So
not
when
until...
when it resurfaces in a newer movie, that's a good idea.
Let me ask you this.
Do you think
that Kylo Ren gets his hand cut off? Because I don't really allude to that at the end, but it seems that he may have got his hand cut off.
I hope not. That would be very unoriginal. To me, him getting his hand cut off is like a third Death Star. How many people need to get their hands cut off in Star Wars movies?
That was the part that's going to drive me nuts if that's the case. If Kylo
I
Ren,
hope not.
gets his hand cut off too. I was like, come on, really?
Because, I mean, I think you hate him, but I think he's something that's refreshing to Star Wars.
It just seems, you know, that was the thing that really bugged
me. That's one thing that's not borrowed from the old movies,
man. And you didn't even think like when, oh man, I hated this part too. I was just like, God, really? It's like, R2-D2, he hasn't, you know, been active since Master Luke.
Yeah, that part annoyed me.
And it's like... And
all of a sudden, he's like, wait, I got the rest of that map.
Oh, yeah. And then poor BB-8. Oh, everybody's all emo and sad. It's like, I'm pitching a tantrum. The droids are sad. It's like, I don't know, man.
I don't... The sad droids aren't bothering me that much, I guess. But part that, like, R2-D2 had these plans the entire time, or the rest of the map, and he just like, I'm depressed, so I'm not going to share it.
Right. It's like...
That part bothers me.
And then, you know...
If it were me, I would have made it a way to where, like... Would have been cooler as if, like, R2-D2 was damaged, and everybody thought he was damaged beyond repair. Right. And then BB-8... somehow repairs him.
Sure.
That would have been way cooler.
Instead of just trying to, like, connect to him.
You know, right. It would have been way... Instead of him being, like, I'm depressed, it would have been better if he was just down or out of operations
or whatever. Or that something that BB-8 could have helped, you know, connect the idea of him and Luke, you know, where Luke's, you know, coordinates was via... And that's the thing that bugged me about the whole new Death Star killer thing was,
yeah,
you know, it only took a handful of fucking X-Wings again.
So he got the name, he got the name Star Killer from, right?
No. Oh, yes, because that was going to be Luke's name originally.
Right.
Instead of Skywalker, it's going to be Star Killer.
Luke Star Killer.
Right. But it's like, clearly, they have built two that did not work.
I know.
And not
only... And it's always destroyed by a fleet of X-Wings.
A handful of them. Yeah. And it's always like some airport, you know, like some like duct.
Believe me, that is to me, that is the single most irritating thing about The Force Awakens. It's the third Death Star.
Yeah. I just was like, I just wish they would have never even been.
It's like, even they realize it was a joke because they make a joke about it. They're like, though, that's not a Death Star. This is a bit way bigger than that.
Did you see it in 2D or 3D?
I saw it in 3D and in 2D. I saw it twice.
I think in 2D would probably have been better.
I saw it twice because despite all those defects and despite whole, you know, regurgitations of the plot of episodes 4 and 5 or whatever, I still felt like it had the feeling of a Star Wars movie.
Absolutely. I was very conscious of the fact that, you know, is it going to change the same scenes? Like, you know, how it pans from the left to the right and stuff like that.
From the, you know, the way the scenes change, the way the music fades in and out, it felt very much like a Star Wars movie.
Well, in that respect, I felt that everything was intact. It's like if you watched,
that's
where I went with it. If you watched all of them in order, I just felt like, this is what I tell everybody without giving any spoilers. I just said my review of Force Awakens is, feel like if you marathon all of them and you get to that, you're like, I don't know, man. I just felt like I just watched all of this. They blew up that Death Star fucking twice, the same fucking way.
No, three times.
Now it's three times.
Yeah.
And
I'm sorry, the third thing is a Death Star. It is.
You know,
anybody that like wants to argue, but no, it's a whole planet. It's not a Death. No, it's a Death Star.
Yeah, it's a Death Star.
It is,
and it doesn't matter. It's just a newfangled Death Star.
Right.
And then I didn't like the fact that, you know, Darth Vader's appearance was for him to sustain life. That was his look. But Kylo Ren necessarily didn't need any of that. He just chose. So I always kind of felt like everybody was snickering behind his back. That's why, like, the undercover ball starting out loud really cracked me up that they were like, I knew you were, you know.
But see, said, I think that's exactly what they were going for in that character.
But
though. They kind
going
of...
Going back to Game of Thrones a minute, you know, like we were talking about earlier in the show.
No, I just want to say, but like, Kylo Ren, he's supposed to be kind of a joke.
Okay, but is he like Joffrey? Yet.
A little bit, yeah. Definitely. I definitely think there's a comparison between him and Joffrey.
Okay.
That's actually really good. Yeah.
You know, that he's not really... Because that would explain a lot
rise. That was dead on what I was thinking. But see, I appreciate those kind of characters.
Sure.
Though, you know?
I mean, and I like somebody that can kind of explain that to me because, I mean, I think right now, right here, we just kind of seen everything differently.
So that's kind of how I saw him when I was watching the movie. I'm like, he's this little like fucking brat.
Bitch.
Yeah.
That doesn't deserve his name his rank.
But I think like shit is going to happen to him. Hopefully if they do it right, shit's going to happen to him. And it's going to become, you know, it's going to kind of become more real and more, you know, he's going to rein things in a little bit more. He's going to get better and more powerful.
Do you think with Disney on board with this and now I don't think Disney did any, that's the thing too. I mean, I think J.J. Abrams did a good job. I think he...
Man, I'm loving that Joffrey comparison. That's fucking dead on.
I agree, man.
Only difference I would say is that, like, Kylo Ren actually can fight.
And he actually came from an honest-to-God bloodline of, you know, right. Darth Vader and...
Where Joffrey's a bastard.
Right. Yes, he is, you know, from his freaky mom.
Right, but still, even because of that, there's, like, a weird... parallel between the two.
I agree.
That's just uncanny, man. That's fucking crazy.
It's weird how I'm like, I don't know if I'm really, now I'm a little bit more interested. So yeah. I can see why my girlfriend will not come talk to us and is more engaged in
I'm telling you, man, Game of Thrones is amazing.
I'm going to keep it up. Believe me, I have really, you know, I do want to do the Game of Thrones show. And now more so because of this show right here. And I've really been trying to really, you know, soak into it. It's just kind of difficult, but I'm going to power through. And I hope to make it to season two. But now that we've kind of found the Kylo Ren / Joffrey.
Oh, so you hadn't finished season one?
I'm almost through with it. I'm almost there.
I'd say, man, after season one, too, especially, it kind of...
I like the whole turn. Like the White Walker thing. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm interested, but it's just a lot going on. So
don't give all I'm going to say too is don't give up on the White Walker thing because it's going to seem like it goes away, but it'll come back.
Okay. Cool. And I know, and I took this into consideration with Game of Thrones early because you've really tried to get me to watch this. You said, don't become too attached to anyone on this show, period. It's just not worth it. So I already knew that going into
anybody's fair game.
Right. Which is, I do like that aspect.
I do too.
That there is, like, Walking Dead, you know, I know we're kind of jumping, you know.
Well, because when there's characters that you know that they're going to save, it leaves very little room for surprise.
Exactly. And I feel like Walking Dead, and yet again, another show and everything, I feel like Walking Dead kind of takes those liberties to sort of even fuck with you a little bit, like the whole Carol thing. And we'll take her out of the credits and stuff and people like that.
Glenn, he might have died. But.
Yeah, and really kind of just pull with, you know, fuck with the whole audience. That part kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
That kind of bugs me. It's like it's like you're just really playing with your audience.
Man, I really hope they take Glenn out the way they do in the comics. Did I just spoil the comics for you, or did
no?
You?
I know how he killed.
Rick got that far.
No, he with the bat and everything.
Yeah,
he gets the shit out of him.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah,
and sorry, spoiler for the comic,
well,
Walking Dead comics.
If in fact that when they and you know that's going to be the very interesting. You know, I know we're talking Force Awakens, but as far as
as far as
big bads though, Negan in the comic says fuck every third word.
I know. They're going to have to do it without all that.
And I'm kind of curious to see how
they've already casted him.
Oh, I know.
He's going to be in the very final season or the final episode of the season.
How many more seasons do you think Walking Dead can go though?
I don't know. I think I read recently that what's the writer's name? Robert Kirkman.
Yeah.
I think I read recently that he was actually thinking about wrapping up the comic book. Because before he was like, I'm going to go as long as I'm going to go, but I might be wrong. I might be mistaken, but I think I remember reading something where he was
here's my thing with Walking Dead. I kind of feel like...
I just hope they don't go beyond the source material. Once he wraps
it
up...
catching up so fast.
Yeah, but once he wraps it up, end the show.
I would hope that Walking Dead would kind of, as much as everybody around the city...
That's the same thing with Game of Thrones, man. The show is actually starting to... It actually has passed the source material.
And that's kind of where Walking Dead's getting. It's passing the source material because they're not – they're trying to –
they're getting there. But they still got a ways to go.
Yeah, they have a minute, but it's just how they write. And that's one thing I do like about Walking Dead, the TV show, is they try not to – it's a parallel universe between the comic the television show.
Yeah, they don't necessarily stick to it.
Certain people live. Certain people are never there, but –
I like how the show will sometimes take a situation in the comic book, but maybe it's a different character or something like that.
Well, for instance, when in Terminus, we thought Glenn was going to meet his fate,
right,
Negan style, early, but it didn't happen. Remember, they're all lined up and everything. We thought Glenn was definitely going to be on the out, and
remember when they were about to chop their heads off.
Yeah, but we thought it was going to
come. I didn't think so.
I didn't either. Like, yeah. I knew that on the past one that he wasn't there. Yeah. I knew. It's like you know.
Well, what gave it away is that they had like episodes where they just weren't letting you know anything about it.
I think that one thing is great about the Force Awakens that one, you know, that was done, it was the fact that no spoilers got out. They really did keep it very,
yeah,
wrapped up. They did. That's hard to do in this day and age.
I know.
It's very difficult to do.
So do you think you'll watch the other two that are coming out?
Maybe like on Netflix or something, but I won't go to the theater.
You won't even go to Redbox for it?
Maybe Redbox. But I just don't care. It's just like, it's just not that, I'm not that.
I will go see him in the movies.
And yeah, I won't.
Because I was entertained. I thought it was a good film. Overall, it was a good film.
I couldn't understand. This is the other thing that kind of bugged me. It's like, you know, the Millennium Falcon just sits out there in this junk heap. And now all of a sudden it's very active and works. And it's supposedly this whole piece of shit.
Right.
And it's still, old they're and using it still works. It's like, well, I mean, it almost seems like they would have kind of just use something else.
Yeah, but the thing is, the Millennium Falcon itself is a character in Star Wars, man. And having it in there is just, I don't know.
Who's directing the next one?
I got bad news for you, my friend. Last time I read, they were looking at that director that did the last Fantastic Four. I know.
But
I haven't seen it, but it tanked. Man, and I'm like, I saw it at Redbox, and I'm like, I don't even know if I'm going to rent that. It's going to be terrible.
Why would they pick him, though? I mean, what else has he done?
I don't know. I don't know. Probably other things. You can look him up.
I mean, Disney's not just going to throw some idiot in.
Yeah, and I thought I remember, I wouldn't think so either, but I remember reading that it was going to be the guy that did Fantastic Four. And I'm like, what? And I thought they were going to get, like, one of the Pixar guys, like, that did Toy Story or something. To direct one of them, too.
Why does C-3PO have a red arm?
Exactly.
Do you have any idea?
No, they just want... It's the stir of the pot, man. Yeah. Like you think, I have just questions wondered if you had it.
Any kind of, like, you know, oh, this is why.
I mean, it had to be... I would think it'd be like a flyby, there's no other arm. I mean, he's falling apart all the time.
Yeah, well, they... I guarantee you that they have already written some sort of...
I'm sure.
Side story where... that's one thing that's always bugged me about C-3PO is that they're always so emotional. Why are they so goddamn emotional?
Yeah, I know.
He's always so scared. It's like, you're a robot. Why are you scared? Oh, Mr. Luke. It's like, even that's R2 doesn't even seem scared, but I just don't like that whole
that's
idea.
That, dude, that's how far artificial intelligence has gotten. They feel emotions.
But the thing is, it's always happened in a galaxy, you know, far, far along.
But not ago. But not all of them experience emotions. R2-D2 doesn't really. Does he? He experiences emotions like a dog, maybe. I don't know.
No, he does. Because even on the Dagobah system, there's a few times where he seems confused.
Okay, but what about say, the robots that Jabba has in his palace that just do whatever bullshit jobs?
But how many robots? Because not very many. I mean, there's more, you know, there's more, like, creatures
but,
in the
But
the
there's
Jabba's
several...
palace.
Okay, but there's several just robots in the Star Wars universe that are just like... Eh. Don't have any kind of personality or whatsoever.
Unless they're, you know, their program's been pulled out and they don't.
I guess my point is, this is probably like levels of artificial intelligence in all these droids, and some
because
of them
I
have.
Because I think at the beginning, but see,
because think about it, he's a protocol droid, so he needs to interact with different indigenous people.
True.
So
that.
Having some personality would be beneficial.
But BB-8 feeling all sad. I just don't understand why he's all depressed. It's like, you know.
I can't explain the personality of those kind of droids because they seem to be like utility type droids. So it doesn't really make sense for them to have personalities.
I also heard that they're going to do these kind of offshoot things.
But damn, did I explain C-3PO. I did a fucking
good
job on that one.
I think that's great. That makes sense. That does.
But the R2-D2, those kind of droids, I don't know. There's no reason for them to have a personality.
No.
Because all they do is like do like all the extra stuff on spaceships and stuff. You know, like they do all the operations. Whatever.
And it would almost seem that if you can, like,
Actually, I think R2-D2 is just like a glorified GPS. Put in the coordinates for Dagobah system.
Back in those days.
Huh?
Obviously, back in those days, it was like, you know, well, you know, this thing can still be relevant.
You know what I always think?
It's not like a VCR.
Yeah, I know. You know what I always think of those kind of movies? It's like they have all this technology for battle and space travel and all this, but there's not much invested in just entertainment value, you know?
Well, yeah.
That's like, how come you never see him watching, like, kick-ass TVs or something? I don't know.
Yeah, right? Everything's also, you know, sad.
Well, everything's all about just, well, we have a lot of technology, but it's for killing stuff.
We have, yeah, they got that hologram chess set going on.
That's the most they got.
Yeah, that's it. And that's a thought-provoking game, but yet it's still holograms and you're not touching anything.
So that part of The Force Awakens irritate you when, like, he bumped into the chess set by accident?
It was just like, oh, here's some more jerk-off.
Yeah, it was. And you notice, like, where he tossed the little ball? It was like that little probe thing?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought also they kind of made an extra effort to sort of go through as many environments as they could. You know, it's like, oh, it's green here. It's snowy here. It's like,
yeah.
You know, in the past
Star Wars, I didn't really think about that, but I guess you're right.
I thought, you know, in the past Star Wars,
always did that, though.
They did, but they would try to at least keep it per film.
No. You got the snow and the jungle. And some weird city in the clouds in Empire.
But
that's one movie.
But they were all different.
Yeah, they were all very different.
From the past one, though. And the other one, it was just Tatooine and the Death Star in space.
Okay, but then you got Jedi, it's back on Tatooine.
Okay, well, Jedi, you got...
And you go indoor, to this weird forest moon.
Mostly indoor, though. And
then
Cloud
space.
City. And Cloud City's kind of the transition.
Not in Empire. I mean, not in Jedi.
No Cloud City?
Not in Jedi.
Just indoor.
Cloud City is not in Return of the Jedi.
Okay, well, just in Empire.
So they go to Tatooine, they go to Endor.
Dagobah.
Yeah, and Dagobah. Yep.
You know.
Okay, I don't know where we're going with this conversation.
I don't know.
What was the point of all this?
And then in Sith, it was in a lava place.
You liked the lava place, didn't you? You gotta have new interesting locales in every Star Wars film.
Well, they should come up with like an ocean place.
Yeah,
They never really went there.
Oh, they did. The Gungans. They live underwater.
I mean, but not like an ocean, like Waterworld.
I guess not.
Maybe that could be a
That's kind of lame, though. Waterworld didn't do very well.
They could call it Earth.
Yeah, I don't think anybody tries to like compare their success to Waterworld.
No.
They're like, Waterworld did it. Yeah, we should probably avoid it then.
Right, Kevin
that movie
Costner.
Bombed.
Kevin Jar Jar.
What's worse
Costner?
Than the Waterworld? The Postman.
Right. In the Field of Dreams.
And it even has Tom Petty. Tom Petty was in that pile of shit.
Wow. All right. Well, so.
That's Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
Wait next year till another one comes out or some sort of Star Wars film.
I think Rick's force is in having narcolepsy or something.
So yeah, I wasn't crazy about it. That's my review of it.
It did not awaken.
Yeah, I hit the snooze button on it. That's it.
Yeah, one too many times, like over and over.
And Justin, he liked it.
I liked it. I mean, overall, I liked the movie. I have problems with it. Was it entirely original? No, it was not. But you know, overall, I thought it was a good movie. I liked the characters, and I thought the acting was really good.
Well. Check us out next time when we talk about the never-ending story. No, I don't know.
The never-ending story, part 4, with Jack Black.
It's never.
He really is in one of them.
Well, I'm Nickelbag Rick.
I'm Justin.
We'll see you next time on Pod Vomit, podvomit.com.
Later, bitches.
Yeah.
Winning.
You've been listening to Pod Vomit on podvomit.com. Don't forget to put your yak in our sack. Make sure to send us email at our barf bag at podvomit@gmail.com. You can find us all over the place. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to us on YouTube and iTunes. Also follow us on podomatic.com and check us out on SoundCloud. You can find Pod Vomit on the Tangent Bound Network. Go gawk at us at Instagram. We're also on the Stitcher Network, and please make sure to donate to our Patreon site. Pod Vomit is recorded at Fenario Studios.